Hey! Trying to break log jams in the prophecy running. I've gotten all the way up to Dayborn Malls have been captured on some level by it's not really a capture. They've been taken before the matriarchal council, and this was going to be kind of the initial event. It kind of harkens back a little bit to Abinadi going before the wicked priests of King Noah, but not. You know, I was trying to shoehorn in an encapsulated version of the gospel there, that this was going to be something interesting. But what it ends up being is harkening back to a time before the convocation, evoking a historical record made in the time of Sherodio, the first queen. Actually, it was done by her brother, Kiami. Of course, almost everybody in that time was one of the children of Eladius and Cassandra, and they were, anyway, and I think during this difficult, what happens is, you know what, I'm not making any sense. I need to just relax. A lot of the focus starts to develop around the book that Melisenda has, that it's not, that it had been, Melisenda liberated it from the old library, which was totally abandoned and only used to provide paper to wrap fish for sale, as it was close to the fishing district, important place where a lot of food from First Home was produced. It's mostly a fishing culture. That's why one of the most important statuses, you know, upon which they used to have content stuff, is aquaculture and fishing. And they were actually taken by authorities not knowing what to do with them, because they didn't really have a system to handle this situation. That's how it came before the matriarchal council, and that's where I was writing. But I got stuck because it's like too much trying to be done in one sitting. So I was thinking about it, pondering it, and decided to pull back to just talking about suppressed history and everybody trying to figure out exactly how they could posture themselves in light of this book and what was happening. And I would have to say that Samantha is somewhat old and tired and would just as soon have all of this stuff suppressed so that it just couldn't get out. Corin was interested because she found the convocation system had been holding her back for a long, long time, and she was interested in perhaps using this kind of old suppressed knowledge to break through some sort of glass ceiling that she had struck, and she could become a power to herself. She didn't know how she was going to do it because she is a very smart person, but she's seen many of the mechanics of amassing power, and she was willing to try to get this book from Mulls and see how she could use it as some kind of a tool to accomplish what she wanted to do. Well, so Mulls doesn't know what to do with it either. She's just read the thing through several times. She knows the story, and she actually ends up kind of being a storyteller ultimately. But this is after a time. And she can do that under the patronage of Michiana, who seeks for a return to this Kiami ethic, staying away from the nursery, doing stuff like that. Going to raise her own child, and going to raise them based on the principles in the book, as far as she has them or can do something for them. So it all kind of becomes this weird thing about this talisman. Instead of being what you can learn from the book, it almost kind of becomes a fight for possession of the book. Nobody knows exactly what having the book will accomplish for them, but several groups ultimately want them. So, regardless, that's how we're breaking through this logjam, at least initially. I'm totally willing to have the story go in interesting directions, however the spirit allows it to go. But it's a good way to break the logjam now. Samantha wants things to stay pretty much as they are. She's comfortable with her position, of course. She's the matriarch and the existing system. And things like Davor and Melisenda and this book can upset what she's worked so hard to achieve, and even though she's become jaded by by the failure of the larger system, she's still a person. You know, this whole group was weaned and worked on the whole ethos of gaining advantage over another, either through the machinations of the pageant system. Their patronage of different industries and government. So that's what Samantha stands on this. Corinth, like I said, is very much about trying to find some kind of break for herself, terribly self-serving, always has been, doing whatever it took to get ahead. And she sees this book as a tool to do this. So she is coming up with ways to separate balls from this book. Doesn't think anything of Davor, as Davor she's always, all men are non-entities. They just don't figure into anything. They're toys to women, the powerful women. Anyway, of course, things suddenly change in this next chapter where Davor, who's had these dreams, has seen the future and correctly predicts that some lost tiara is in the possession of one of the matriarchal council members. She has stolen this just because this is what they do. It's just, they like nice, pretty things. So he correctly identifies her as this, as the person who can do these things. Or, so the matriarchal council sees that Davor knows, I don't know if he knows the future, but he knows things. And that piques Samantha's interest. Now, Samantha is always trying to tweak Corin, mostly to keep her in her place on some level. She is a useful tool in being kind of the woman you can unleash on a situation. And I hate to call it moral backbone, but there are a lot of things that you can't get many ladies and matrons to do because they're considered beneath them. Corin has always been the kind of person that she would do anything to garner favor, accomplish goals, stuff like that. She would do anything that she could. Anything. So that's why Samantha still keeps her around, is because she's just such a ruthless hammer to so many convenient things. And Samantha, as she's grown older, and it's important that she remains above the fray. Corin becomes an important lieutenant to that. And she knows that to some level, she can, if she appears to be, catering to her needs, this is a wonderful thing, It's a fantastic tool that doesn't require a ton of payment. And so Davor becomes this hot property in subsequent chapters. And the convocation system suits him fine. He's happy. He would be much happier as a consort for a convocation lady, especially a highly placed one. You know, pride and position and stuff like that really feeds his heart much better than living on some sandy beach, fishing in a channel to feed the needs of Wakey all the time with a growing dissatisfied wife, or not wife, the only lady he's really known for 20 years, which is a little weird too. There's not a lot of action going on there. The choice of one path and the other is really easy for him. So, this is where. So I'm hoping to push through it all that way. The stuff going on Davor already came up with kind of previously. It was what Melisandre was going to be doing in here. So Melisandre tells stories that she hopes will. You have to understand, it kind of works off of her old thing is about that the convocation lies to people. And this has always been this has been her big bugaboo about it. Perfectly worthy to have this kind of attitude. It's true. I don't know if she's trying to lash back. I don't know. I don't think she has any place really to put it. The thing that she had come up with, which was simply escaping before, although that's very, that works for Melisandre as an individual, God has something much more interesting to do. So there's kind of where all that stuff sits. And I think we can push this next log jam and keep pushing forward. I would like to get this book done. I'd like to get on to the part of my life that exists past this, whatever it ends up being. So that's what I've got right now. That's going to help break that logjam, which I've been trying to work on for, you know, I've gotten back to the story and gotten to this particular point, and it's a good point to be at, but it needs to go somewhere. Moles is, I don't know, maybe indignant because I don't know where Moles stands in the whole thing. Ultimately, there is this split between trying to evolve the convocation into something more righteous, which I think is kind of what Moles wants to have. She really doesn't have a big problem with the convocation system, just the kind of horrors it was doing that were evil. Michiana, who just wants to get rid of the whole thing in favor of a return to more of how life worked with Sarah Dio, and what's the other possibilities? Whoa. Of course, there's plenty of rather disaffected people. And when there's personal things going on, there always is, so it ends up being these are the whole situation breaks into two camps. And a lot of people attach themselves to one camp or the other for selfish reasons. Lanel Elk is an example of selfish reasons to attach himself to Michiana. The queen, the whole camp that says, let's just evolve things. It's already evolving well for Lanel Elk anyway. He's amassing more power, and he's not power hungry sufficiently to really want to challenge the whole convocation system. That's Wes, who has interesting but contrived notions of all kinds of things. Anyway, so that's where we are now. We'll see where it goes. We don't have to fill in the whole narrative. I never do. Anyway, so that's all I've got. We'll continue pressing forward on prophecy. Try to get that accomplished. And then see what happens after that. Talk to you later.